All right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Give Us a Spell podcast. My name is Zach. I am your host, and we're probably due a new intro. The music is getting a bit old. This episode, we're going to be talking a bit of Melbourne. We're getting Nick back on. He has been on a couple of weeks. We've sort of finished up all the big racing down in Melbourne. They've got some decent racing down there this weekend. We're going to recap a couple of the main talking points of the Flemington, Caulfield, whatever carnival down there. There's been a fair bit going on, so we're going to go over that. We're going to go over the meeting down there and maybe have a little look at the Goldie as well, depending if they run. It is absolutely pissing down in Queensland, but as I welcome in Nick for the first time in a couple of weeks, mate. How are you?
Hey, good, mate. Just been having a pick of grass. Had a bit of a spell for a little, just a freshen up for a few weeks. Nice when you sort of get to the end of the carnival and you, I don't know about you, but I had a bit of punting fatigue. I was bloody buggered by the end of it. So nice to have a few week freshen and then nice meeting this weekend to kick back off again.
It's true. I even hit you up yesterday and asked you if you how you actually you know, went over spring. So I think it's the first time you've actually tracked your results and whatnot. And, mate, good to hear you came out ahead.
Yeah, no, it's sort of getting to that point now where you're going to be having a bet every weekend and following really closely. I suppose it's probably really important you actually tracking how you're going. So was lucky enough, I suppose. We bring our own luck, don't we, Zach?
That's right.
Yeah, it was a very nice couple of months for us. So, no, it's really good.
It was pretty good. And obviously, like you said, you had a bit of punting fatigue. I often have a bit of a spell around these times and probably a little bit after autumn. But then again, there's other people that absolutely swear by this time of punting around this area. So, look, I won't be punting as much as I do normally, but there's obviously plenty of winners to be found. And like the lame saying that always goes, they all pay the same. So what's been going on, mate? You're still working, still on the tools, still at school?
Yeah, still working. The kids are getting pretty tired now. We've got an 11-week term to finish the year off as well, which is pretty brutal, but that's okay. Yeah, a couple of weeks, and then moving back to Sydney on December 18th, which is really exciting. So next chapter sort of begins, I guess.
That's exciting, mate. We might be able to get a few of these done in person, which is always a bit easier. Most people know that I do a bit of, in another lifetime, I was a school teacher and I still do it on a Wednesday. I told you yesterday that I was going to tell you a story. So yesterday.
Looking forward to this.
Generally on a Wednesday, right, it's my day that was generally the easier day at school. And I normally message them and go, look, what am I doing? In case they give me something, they're saying real bad, you sign, tell them you don't want to do it. But I said, am I doing any sport today? Generally, the Wednesday is a sport day. That's generally why I chose to do Wednesdays. It's pretty cruisy in the afternoon. And they said, no, you're not doing sport. You'll be covering classes, whatever. I went, okay. So I dressed accordingly, put my boots on, wore jeans, a collared shirt, whatever. If I was doing sport, you know, you can get away with wearing Connies and, polo shirt and shorts or whatever. Anyway, so I get there and it's real muggy in Sydney yesterday. It was hot. It was shit. And I get there and they go, oh, shit, sorry, mate. You're actually doing sport this afternoon. You're doing walking. I went, and I know that the walking is the most fucked thing that you can do. Generally, you can go to the skate park, you can go to the beach, you can go fishing, you can just hang at school and do sport there. But I got given walking. So for anyone in Sydney, I walked from Mona Vale to Church Point, pretty much even further and back, in boots, jeans, collared shirt.
Oh, no, that is
absolute pits too. So I've also been teaching kind of a lot of like the autistic kids and stuff there, which I love. I love dealing with those kids. And I had one of them walking with me and he just asked me about 100 times why my eyebrows are so big. So look, it's been a bit of a stickling point for me in my life getting teased as a kid because my eyebrows are big and whatever. And this kid just rinsed me the whole time as well. So
brought you back down to earth a bit.
To say I was a bit frustrated in the afternoon and to say I earned my money yesterday would be an understatement, mate. So
That's a tough day. And it's been humid, hasn't it? Like
it's been
don't
shit.
Want to walk around in jeans.
Mate, the last thing you want to do, and yeah, so, and I, oh fuck, I'll be honest here, so we generally split the groups up into two, and they were like, oh, you can lead, I'm like, fuck, I am not leading, because I'll be walking very slow, right, and then they go, I'll go at the back, and they're like, you go to the back of the first group, I'm like, fuck, that means there's like another group sort of catching me and shit, Anyway, they were making some serious ground on me. I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do here? I'm struggling. Like, every foot is just, every step is just fucking killing in these boots. And there's, like, hills and shit. Anyway, as you do, start doing the fakey, like, limp. And then I fucking went down and started, like, rearranging my sock. And then that other teacher walked past, like, oh, we're catching you. I'm like, yeah, fuck, I've got this hell cut underneath my foot. Oh, fucking kills, oh, yeah, I'll catch up. There's no cut on my foot, mate. Like, there's
you're a child. You're so, an actual mate, child.
They fucking lapped me. I was just in, I was in all sorts. Anyway, yeah, it was a fucking ordinary
soft
day.
Soft as butter, Zach.
Yeah. Oh, mate, it's just, you know what? So embarrassed, too. Like, it's pretty rare that you get, you feel that low in yourself. But, yeah, got lapped by kids. Like, you know, 60-year-old women are fucking lapping me and ask me what's going on. Anyway, back to punting.
Sounds like you need some concrete. That's what I'm hearing.
Mate, when you do your degree and you finish and you start doing it, you can come talk to me, mate. But at the moment, you can deal with your little primary school.
Thanks, mate.
Mate, we talk about some stuff happening in Melbourne. So I didn't have you on last week. Me and the other boys, we talked a lot of Sydney stuff and I touched on a bit of it. But I want to touch on a couple of things before we look at the racing on Saturday. So first off, right now, what do we make of incentivise? Is it just this 12-month span where it's come from Toowoomba to now? Where do you see incentivise?
Oh, he's in the best three or four horses we've got at the moment. I think it's as simple as that, especially distance-wise. He's going to get some seriously heavy weights next year when he's running around in Caulfield Cup, so they're probably going to have to go weight for age with him. I imagine he'd run in sort of an Australian Cup sort of setup. That's the campaign, maybe even a Queen Elizabeth in the autumn.
Yeah.
That's the way I see him heading, but nah, he's definitely the real deal. He's running the Melbourne Cup to bring the whole field up.
Yeah.
When Persan shit himself at the 800-900 and then had to bring the whole field up by himself with 57 kegs. Like, you just couldn't be more impressed with how he went.
So, and still come second and pull up a bit lame.
Like, he out-toughed Spanish Mission. Like, Spanish Mission probably should have gone past him and didn't. So, nah, real deal, big tick.
Bizarre, isn't it, how much he's done in, like, the last year?
It's phenomenal. You don't see it, mate. Like,
Stephen Trigay is just, a bit of a grin, doesn't he?
When you hear even the old Toowoomba trainers talking about him, they knew he was special, which is really weird for a horse that was still a maiden after start 5-6. So, I don't know. So such a peculiar situation, but pretty cool for Australia.
It is. And what did you make of Very Elegant? Obviously, she's one of the greats, right? To me, I completely left her out of the cup and whatever. To do what she did is fucking, you know, I don't know how many times I've said it in my life that the Chris Waller-James McDonald combo that he's paying, the odds of that is just... And I keep forgetting, I keep missing it. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, Waller's... Every time I do a market, I'm like, all right, Waller's at the top with J-Mac aboard, $2.90 or whatever. And this time, completely let Very Elegant go, smashes it in the Melbourne Cup. What do you think?
Oh, she was unbelievable. And I now regard her in a similar sort of field as like a Sunline. I reckon they're probably head-to-head, I guess. So I don't know. I'm sure some people would have the opinion she's better. Others are probably more Sunline, but I think they're the two of the best mares we've ever had. It's interesting because you go back and you watch her Turnbull run where she looked flat-footed and couldn't keep up. And then in the Cox Plate, she was good, but she still did look like she wanted further. I don't know why we didn't get the signs that she was ready for 3,200. Maybe we just thought 57 kilos mare in a cup. Could she really do it? But if there was a year that she was going to do it, like, she's definitely the classiest horse in that field now that you actually go back and look at it. So...
Don't you think she like relishes big company? Do you know, like, a lot of horses? So these like small fields, she seems to struggle a bit. When it comes to these big fields, mate, she nails it.
100%. Bit of pressure because she's a weird racing style. Like, she races with her head in the air and she's really hard to control. So maybe a bit of pressure on lets her just settle down a little bit so she can actually stride out. But she's just a jet. And as soon as at the 800, J-Mac was sitting there smoking his pipe, wasn't he?
It was just
far out.
I knew it because I'd done everything that I own into incentivise, and I just saw James McDonald just taking the piss at the 500, just going, fuck, he's going to win by a bit here. And then he just, yep, that hurt.
There's just on the cup just before we finished there, like in those big races where you've got like the Everest or the Caulfield Cup or the Melbourne Cup, horses like Incentivize, who is sort of $2.40, $2.50, $2.60 a win on Fix and about $1.45, $1.50 the place. If you're looking, I know myself, I played Incentivize the place. I had a really good go at it on the tote. And what like those tote pools are often wrong in races like that because, you know, Milani Jenny puts a 20 a place on the roughie in the field. So I don't know, just a little bit of a lurk that me and my old man have always sort of kept an eye out for is those favourites in fields like that. You often get overs on the place on the tote. So
$2 are paid.
Pay $2. So it's just like when you're $2.70 to win on Fix and you get $2 for it to run top three, it's just crazy.
That's wild. Really. Yeah. Mate.
Yeah, $4 million in the pool, so there's a little lurk for you.
And what did you make of Spanish Mission?
Yeah, couldn't have been more impressed. It was pretty good considering like a bit of a weird lead up, like
and he's sticking around with Moody.
Yeah, I'll be interested when we get to that race. Hey, he's obviously classy as, so looking forward to seeing what he'll do. It's good that we get to keep another good stayer too.
Nature Strip obviously was, you know, won the Everest and everything. And I think it was it you from memory saying that how much you liked the sprint race in Melbourne and then it was just fucked, like Nature Strip's going around at $1.20. What did you make of Nature Strip over spring? I was utterly impressed.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about Waller. I remember watching Nature Strip's first win. I believe it was at Caulfield where he won by 5 or 6. I think it was Caulfield. And I remember actually saying to a couple of people, this horse might be pretty special. And then he did it a couple of times in a row when he was getting trained by, I can't remember who his first trainer was, but then he went to Weir. And that Nature Strip's just all the issues he's had. Waller's gotten rid of the going too keen, gassing after the 1,000 metres. He's turning into the best sprinter in the world.
He had a few trainers, eh? Didn't he have it? It was Smurden to Hickmott to Sadler to Weir to Waller.
Yep, absolutely. He's literally been everywhere. And he always had heaps of talent but just could never run over 1,000. Now Waller's just...
Yep.
He looks like he could barely win a 1,400-metre race the way he races now. He just settles so well. Gun freak, take him overseas, please.
I think we've talked about the fight between Racing New South Wales and Racing Victoria and stuff, and the fact that the sprint had Nature Strip going around at $1.30. What do you think that needs to get done with this continual back and forth over spring and like the announcement of these huge races that Volandi's just whacking a million race here, a million race there? What do we do with it?
Well, the problem is that you got Volandi's, who is he doesn't have an eye open for Australian racing. It's just New South Wales and basically just Sydney racing and just the outer of Sydney. But so he's not someone that's going to cooperate with Victorian racing, which is going to be a big problem because even you look at like Mark Crusader and Eduardo opt to stay in Sydney to run in that Chautauqua or the Red Zell or the Classique Legend Stakes. Fuck that. Like, even the Manicato and the Moya were shit this year because we had other big sprint races on the weekends or in the following weeks. Like, Melbourne and Sydney have got to get together and we've got to get these horses. Like, they're never going to do it, but it's not. And that's the problem. But then, so we're really just talking because we're talking.
Well, don't you think that Victoria just needs someone like Volandi's? Go a bit of toe-to-toe with him because at the moment his job is to look after New South Wales. He doesn't give a fuck. His quote the other week was something like, I'm living rent-free in their minds because they're just so far ahead of them at the moment. And to be honest, I love the Melbourne Carnival. Absolutely love it. But if this continues the same way, all the good horses are going to stay in Sydney.
Yeah. No, you're spot on. It's frustrating as punters and as fans because you don't get to ever see the best sprinters all running in the same race. Like all running through the same preparation. Like to see Nature Strip beat a field with Swat's That. Swat's That's run second in a Dali class sprint classic.
Yeah.
Like
it was a bit of an ordinary field, wasn't it? Looking at it, it was like Bellin's September run, which is just cooked. Splintex. Splintex was the one I thought, oh, I might be all right. No good.
Me too. Yeah, ran around the same race multi.
Yeah, me too.
So I was flat.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, they got to sort it out, mate. They won't, and it will continue to be this shit fight, but fuck, what do you do?
It's very hard, obviously, doing futures betting because you're like, there's all these futures things where, oh, they might go to Melbourne. You're like, nah, they're probably not going to. So you want to be going pre-noms, I think, for everything at the moment. What about a bunch of these horses wanting to go overseas or possibly going overseas? You keen?
Please just take them. Like, oh, I'm so big on this. It was the one thing that I understand why they didn't want to take Wings over, like, because it was sort of the end of her career when it was the point. But, like, let's go over there, take Nature Strip, who's the best sprinter in the world, to a country where the sprinters aren't that great. Like, England sprinters aren't that great. But go and make a mess of them. Like, go and run him in a Group 1 race over there. And then all of a sudden, because there's this perception that our racing, you know, we're the little guy and, like, our racing is just big money but not that much talent. And England think they're so much more superior. Go over there and flog them, man. Like, let's just go do it. I'm very early going to go over and win as well. So I'm so for it.
I think I'm with you on the sprinters. I think their sprinters aren't that great. But then what was it? Remember when Black Caviar went round and old mate nearly fucked it up completely? Luke Nolan. Oh my God. Well, I remember watching that live just going, shit.
She was injured as well, so he was trying to look after her once he thought the race was done, but he nearly fucked that up. I was
screaming so hard.
I reckon I was 13 and I watched that with Dad at about 1:30 in the morning on school night, I think it was. It was, pretty funny, but...
That's awesome.
Year 7. Take him over, please.
Who have they said to go over?
Nature Strip, Very Elegant potentially, and maybe Home Affairs.
I don't know if they'll take Very Elegant, eh?
I hope they do. That'd be elite.
It'd be awesome. I'd love to see more of it, to be honest.
Even just to see where she's at. Like, where is she? Where does she sit?
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
A good sprint race over there for Nature Strip. I would love that, though. Get him fucking 1,000 metres, just kick away. That would be...
In the King Stand or something, he'd just fucking...
Before we go into the weekend's racing, anything from Sydney that you were really stoked with? The Everest, the Eagle, anything like that? Any horse?
I think the one that I'd like just to make a comment on is just Lost and Running. Like, was it the Hunter that it won? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, something about those barriers that people get scared of. Like, he drew 16-17, but there was always going to be pressure in that race and people were riding off. But you go back and look at the form, like, Wonderbar's run second. Like, what is Wonderbar? Like, what, a benchmark 90, maybe a listed horse?
Mm.
Like, Lost and Running's genuine Group 1 quality and you get 250, 260. So glad that they eventually got a result with that horse. I think it's really, really good.
I think we were super scared, like, obviously with Tab having Lost and Running as our Everest horse. Look, it ran, I think, fourth in the Premier. And the Everest, like, we were a bit worried. Like, in the shorts, it came last, right? Eduardo shattered in over Nature Strip, came last. We were like, shit. Ran in the Premier, fourth. We were like, ooh. And then, but Huey was, like, still super keen. He still swore by it. And then to run fourth in the Everest behind Nature Strip, Marcus Crusader, whatever, like, mate, it was fucking huge. Then it ran all right in the Classique, came second. And then the Hunter, like you just said, you're getting 250, 260 for a Group 1 horse and you've got Wonderbar and you've got that unknown horse in top ranked. Quite a few of the big punters or the pro punters or whatever, they were all swearing by it. They're like, mate, this is just class above. Yeah. Ignore the barrier.
And that's exactly what happened, Mike. It was just sitting, you didn't even have to watch. It was a stress-free run.
I think they were like, does it take it up? Or that other prime candidate might take it up. I'm like, I don't care. I think Lawson, I go Huey on that. Wins.
And three deeps not going to be an issue either. Like, people just worry about stuff too much. And the other one I want to mention as well is just Eduardo. Like, how good is he for? Seriously, like, it's one of those horses I feel like no one's convinced by yet for some reason. Like, everyone still thinks, like, I think because it's such a small sort of trainer and it's not one that's coming from a big stable and he gets like some rogue jockeys that ride him and he's just good.
Nash is down. He's all over it, Nash, I think. With you. It's flying. All right, let's have a look at some Saturday stuff, eh? Not sure weather-wise what they're doing in Melbourne. I know that Sydney, we've had a fair bit of rain, and I know Queensland's been getting absolutely pumped, but, you know, Melbourne are still on a good. So we go to
Melbourne's not too bad either the next few days, so it should be okay.
And they've got a bunch of listed and group races and stuff happening, so there's some stuff happening. In the first, they've got that horse, Ebba, with that Snowden thing. It's had a trial, but it's already been backed. It's like $2.90. It opened $4.60. But that Brereton, it won at Flemington, and it had I think it came second in its first start. Pretty good horse. Obviously, $3.10. Luke Nolan scares me all the time ever since that caviar race. We got Moco. We got Silver Nido as well going around. It has to be between these top two, I think. I don't know too much about the first start. Haven't seen the trial, but I know a bit of Brereton. Who do you like?
Yeah, the trial was really good, and it's obviously out of I'm Invincible as well. Get to Ollie for Snowden, so it's always a good sign if it's 460 to 290 early. But yeah, I'm happy with Brereton. I like horses that have had a race start. That was up the inside as well at Flemington. I think it might have been on either Oaks or Cup Day. Can't remember which day it was, but up the inside along the rail. So Caulfield looks like it'll suit. 1,000 metres again. I'm happy enough with the horse that's had the few starts. Interesting as well, like Impending's first sort of crop of horses. Moco's out of Impending, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. There's a Capitalist horse in there as well, so a couple of cool breeding horses coming through now.
True. We are recording Thursday Arvo. I just noticed there was a Wyong race number 7, one of the great meetings. Weekend Affair. Not sure if you know the horse. The Jason Coyle horse. $41 yep. We opened it with Tab into $5, and they've just postponed the meeting. So I would have loved to.
Oh, you're kidding.
I was really keen to see that horse go around. No deductions or anything. $41 into $5. So I'm assuming the traders at Tab are pretty happy just in case that backfired for them pretty hard. So we think Brereton, yeah?
Yeah, let's lock in Brereton.
Were you on last start?
Yeah, I was actually. It was a head bobber.
I think we were just, it led and then just got there, eh?
Yeah, pretty happy to see it. Hold on. I'm pretty sure it was race one on
it was.
Cup Day or Oaks Day.
Yeah, so just fell in.
Very handy.
I really like this next horse. Don't know if I'll like it in this race, but Accountability has won me some money in the past. Brett Preble's aboard for Waller at $2.50. We got True Marvel at $3.10. Sweet Thomas at $4.20. Sweet Thomas is like, God, he's a trier, that horse. I think he's had 60 starts for about 5 wins or something, but he does all right. Then we got Real Double Figures. So there's literally nothing going on here, but what do you reckon? Bit of money for this True Marvel.
Yeah, True Marvel's the one I like. 54 kilos, literally stays all day. It won by 16 lengths at the Valley in the Jericho Cup Prelude. And like another 100 metres, it would have won by further. Like the jockey sat there and didn't touch it for the last 300 metres. I think it's a really good bet. I'm happy enough with it. Interesting sort of preparation, like 3,000, then has a 1,900 metre run at Canterbury, but...
yeah,
3,800 back to 3,200. This is definitely not an issue. I'm pretty happy with True Marvel.
Sweet, May. I remember you backing this horse last time. Decent Rain, or maybe was it last time? Can't remember. Maybe it was two starts ago when it ran at Flemington.
And we finally got a collect 2 weeks ago.
That's $2.70. John McNeil's on there for Kieran Maher. We got Star of Chaos at fives, Lady of Honor, Raduna, Lavish Girl. Little bit of money for one at odds in Allegretta for Moody and Blake McDougall. But are we going with your horse, mate? Decent Rain?
Yes, sticking. We need one more win out of it to sort of make our money back on her. It was really impressive. A week or two ago at Ballarat, really, really content with Decent Rain. It's been super unlucky all preparation, so nice for it to get a win at the end of it. Just on that Allegretta, I can actually see why there's a little bit of money there. Its win was really good at Pakenham.
It's halved its low, $26 in the 13.
And that combination, like I think you're going to be seeing a bit more of McDougall. He's a really, really good jockey. He's going to, I reckon in the next 5 or 6 years, he'll end up being a really, really strong jockey in Melbourne. It's great that he's made the move down there rather than riding in sort of country New South Wales. So Decent Rain I really like though.
decent rain. It is. Race four is the Dobberton Stakes. We got Enthar. I like this horse, even though it's drifted. $4.20 for Kieran Maher. We got Curran at fives. In from eights, too. So good go. Yulong Command at five. Starry Legend at 850. Varda. Look, normally runs pretty well, but it's on the drift. And we got Parsifal at 14s. Look, I'm not sure. Enthar's a good horse, but it's on the drift. Tell me why.
I don't like Enthar. If she wins, she wins, but I'm just happy to let her go around. Her last start was okay. I thought it was a little bit plain, but it was after a 255-day spell, so probably fair enough. But probably want to see her win before I jump on it $4. I really like Yulong Command. He's a dead check. Cannot run much further than 1,000 metres, but that's okay. Gets Damien Lane, 54 kilos. Went down to Curran in its first run this prep, and they both met each other at 55 kilos. Now Curran goes to 57 and we get 54. So
do you think
the conditions really suit?
Do you think Yulong Command's a bit more of a Moonee Valley horse?
I think horses that suit the valley tend to suit Caulfield a little bit too.
Agree.
But maybe potentially, but I'm... Yeah, I think $5, you'll actually get a pretty good sight too.
Beautiful. Damien Lane aboard, he's flying, he's good. We got Summon Stakes Steinem, backed, $6 already into 330. Had a start last in that group, in the thingo, I can't remember what it was, the group one. Didn't do too good. That's right. Tricky Gals there at 480. We got Quantum Mechanic, Zing. We're getting out to double figures, Zing, Agreeable, Brazen Song, etc. Look, not much money for anything bar Steinem for Kieran Maher.
Yeah, been waiting for this horse to have another start. I was hoping to be over 2,000, not 1,600, because if you go back and watch its run behind Colette, it was just, it was like for a horse that's only had seven starts to be running in a Fillies and Mares Group 1 race on Derby Day.
The Empire Rose,
and this horse is bred by Frankel as well, so you know that 2,000 is really going to suit. So I was hoping next start would be in a 2,000 meter race, but we get 1,600. I'm so happy to follow this horse. I reckon it's going to be a real talent. I reckon it's going to be a really good horse in the autumn. So Steinem all over it.
People get a bit pissed off that they miss prices, right? So we often have a good look at prices before we bet, and it opens sixes. Are you happy to take 330? Like, what's the lowest you're happy with Steinem? Would you take threes?
To me, a lot of people stress, I reckon, too much about price. Like, end of the day, if you think the horse is going to win, like, you should be backing it. Obviously, when it turns into those $80, $70 quotes, you've got to be a bit more careful because you've got to bet a lot more. But I think if you think the horse is going to win, 350 is still an okay price. Obviously, you're a bit flat if you miss six.
You've got to be very quick.
Yes, absolutely.
You'll be very quick to get those markets.
I can see why they snapped it up. She's pretty smart.
All right. First leg of the Quaddie Sandown Guineas is Festival Dancer. $3.30, smash from 750. So that's been whacked. Port Louis, mate, this thing. This thing deserves a win. Eight starts, zero wins. It's been pretty backed. It's been backed to literally like every start too. So Cardinal Gem, $5. We go out to double figures for Blushing Tycoon and stuff like that. Good coin. Festival Dancer. Matt Smith, Craig Williams, Barrier 3. Do I say no more?
Pretty much. It's nice racing pattern too, like races in the first couple, which we always like, especially with these younger horses. And at Caulfield too, it's usually traditionally a bit of a leader's track. How can you look at Port Louis as the second favourite? Like, yeah, probably been a little bit stiff and it's running second and third all the time, and it's running a bit better company than this. But I'm happy to take the horse that's won four on the bounce and has the good racing pattern rather than Port Louis, who's going to be back last and seems to always find bad luck. So. A no-brainer for me.
Say no more. I'm with you. Race 7, Zipping. $1.50 we've got for Spanish Mission. A lot of people telling me that this is just a non-race and Spanish Mission wins. Obviously running for Peter Moody. Glenn Boss has got the ride. Warning is going around. Barrier 1 at 5s. And then we're already at double figures with Sound and Wentwood and Dr. Drill, Luna Flair, etc. What do you reckon Spanish Mission put in, put out? Don't want to take $1.50.
God, no. Fuck, no. No way. 3,200, first up, back to 2,400. this horse is a dead set 3,000 to 4,000 meter horse. So this is really sharp for it, if 2,400 sharp for anything. You couldn't post a bigger price because you got the horse that's ran third in the Melbourne Cup. So yeah. I understand that $1.50 spot on, but I would not be going anywhere near it.
Who would you have behind Spanish Mission?
I'm a big fan of Dr. Drill and Luna Flair, but that's a bit biased. It's not necessarily a knowledge-driven opinion. I just like the two horses. But Warning is probably the obvious one.
Warning was absolutely fantastic to me on Everest Day. So it was obviously one there, and then it went to Melbourne and one there. I know that it was only a six-horse field in Flemington, but it's pretty impressive. So you're getting $1.50. What?
There's no speed in this race either. Like, where do they take Spanish Mission? Like, where does he actually sit? Like, do they
we don't know much about it, right?
No, not a ton. Obviously, good form coming from overseas. It's just, I don't know. I'd be treading a little bit wary if you like Spanish Mission.
All right. Well, before we do that, let's pick a standout trifecta.
Okay, you go first.
Deal. Okay, Spanish Mission wins, and I'm a big fan of Warning, and then we're going to go to Luna Flair.
All right, I'll go Spanish Mission, Luna Flair, then Warning.
Okay, fantastic. Hopefully we win. all right, Eclipse Stakes, race number 8, 1,800-meter race. Our Playboy, $2.70. Everyone tipped this horse last start, where it ran second to King Magnus. That was everywhere. Star Rail is there, obviously. Ridiculous money for Royal Mile. So, not sure what's going on here, but we're opening 15s. We're into 650. I wish I had a piece of that. Jukon's there at 12s, Bonavici, etc. Even Sosibon, old mate, Sosibon. Little money for Defibrillate too. That's 26 into 15s, but this is a race where I have no fucking idea, so tell me who wins.
hopefully I can tell you who wins. I like Star L, and the form behind Zaydani came out and been really proven, came out and won a really good race at Ballarat, Zaydani. I feel like this horse has been building towards a win this prep, running in some really good company too. He's probably maybe not better company than our Playboy, but we certainly get a better price. And if it looks like it's going to be a good track, I think our Playboy is probably two or three lengths better in the wet. Still a good horse, but Star Rail for me, I think $5.50 is a nice price. Gee, 15 into 650 for Royal Miles, a big go.
That's what I mean, 15 into 650.
Like, for a horse that's come over from Morfordville, benchmark 82, but did run in a Group 1 behind Explosive Jacks. They ran in that derby in Adelaide. Interesting. Really interesting.
And you give no love to Sosibon?
Look, I've had my fair share of bets placed on that horse. I'm happy to, yeah. Nah.
Keep out.
See ya.
Nah. All right, we'll go to the last, which is the Kevin Heffernan Stakes. And we got I Am Superman going around at 360. Streets of Avalon's there at 650. Good money for Ranier, for Godolphin. Age of Chivalry's there at 7s. Sinewan, $8. Crosshaven. This is actually not a bad little last race, mate. Who are you with?
It's a really good little race, actually. I was on Age of Chivalry a couple of weeks ago when it won. And I'm actually... I thought its Cranbourne run was still okay. And that day it was an absolute slop track. Hopefully back on top of the ground, I think you can get a nice price, $6 or $7. I'm not sure about I Am Superman. He's not giving me a winner vibes. He shits me a little bit, that horse. I think they think he's a Group 1 horse, Group 2, Group 1 horse, but I don't know if he actually is. So I'm happy to let him go around at 360. Age of Chivalry for me, I reckon.
Age of Chivalry 7s, eh? Damien Lane, I like him. Big fan. And he beat Crosshaven, didn't he, a couple of starts ago.
Yes.
The thing is, when we talk about Gold Coast, which is happening on the weekend, it is absolutely... They've had 150 meals in 48 hours there. So, look, we take it with a grain of salt if it's going to run. But we'll have a look. I think you wanted to mention one race in particular, which was... Wonderbar. Wonderbar, $3.80. So $7, been backed, $3.80. Andrew Mallion's on, obviously, for Chris Lees. Had a win in the heavy, had a couple of wins in the soft. It's going to be heavy. It's a heavy 10 already. Tell me why you want Wonderbar.
Well, to me, this is the genuine best bet of the day by a long way. I can't believe we've missed sevens. This is the problem when you try and have a rest off the punt. You miss prices when you actually like things. But second behind Lawson Running, 1.3, ran out of its skin. Like, yeah. Are we kidding with 380? Like, I just...
In the slop? In the absolute heavy turns?
Goes fine on the wet. Like, two starts for a win and a placing. In the soft, goes 10 starts for three wins, five placings. Like, I don't think that the wet's going to be an issue. And if it's an issue for it, it's going to be an issue for all the other horses too.
Yeah.
I just think this is a dead set. Put as much on this thing as you can, 56 and a half kegs. I just, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Enough said.
Beautiful. We may as well mention the recognition stakes as well. That's race seven. It has Tambo's Mate, which I believe is going to be Sydney. So take it what you will. The Horovian is back. So the Horovian, for anyone that doesn't remember, won about 50 races in a row. It's had a win in the heavy. It's had a bunch of wins in the soft. Do you like anything in that?
I haven't done the form for the race. It's just, yeah.
There's a couple of good horses going in there. Nick Nova and Gem Song and Ballistic Boy. They're all pretty good horses, these.
Yeah, and Nick Nova goes pretty good and heavy as well.
Yeah, it's three starts, two wins. Anyway.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good little race. They're sort of like their best 1,200, 1,400-metre horses they've got up there, so it'd be a really good one to watch. Even Ballistic Boy's had only a little freshen up, and it couldn't have been more impressive in its two wins last preparation as well. So... I think those top three or four in the market, it'll be a really good race to watch.
I don't mind the Queensland Carnivals. Some people are like, oh, that's no good. I don't mind it. I don't mind it because, you know, if you back Golan enough times, you're just going to come out on top.
have you done the millions before? Have you been up there for that?
No. I might be going this year, though. I can't remember whatever date it is, but I've got a bunch of time off in January. Paul Joyce, for anyone that doesn't know, he's moving to Queensland. He's not going to be the Sydney form guy. He's going to be doing a bunch of Queensland form, doing a bit of there. He'll do some metro meetings, but he's also going to do a bit of like the Bow Deserts and the Kilcoys and stuff. And he's that pumped. Like, he's so keen to do it. I'm going to go probably visit him as well. He's bought a filth house in right in the Goldie, which is, yeah, must be nice. Must be on a good wicket down here and winning on the punt because he's bought a fucking nice house right near the Cass. But yeah, I'm going to go up and hopefully do a bit of that because everyone swears by it. Have you done it?
Yeah, I've done the millions. I did it 2 years ago. It's
good fun.
It's a seriously, seriously good day. I'm not the track set up and in terms of actually going out there and hanging out for the day, it's probably not the best, but in terms of actually like watching the races and the day that it, like the, yeah. In terms of the horses and the prize money, it's a really good day.
And it's the Gold Coast.
And to Gold Coast, where else would you rather be?
All right, best of the day. Do we go back to Caulfield? Do we talk Festival Dancer? Do we talk Steinem? Are you just going to make $1.50 your favourite bet in Spanish Mission?
No, definitely not Spanish Mission. Wonderbar is my best bet around the country sort of
setup. So 380?
Yeah, around there. And then I think Decent Rain is a really, really good bet in race three. I think 270s. Probably going to get snapped up again. They usually back this horse too. So Decent Rain best at Caulfield and Wonderbar best in the country.
Decent Rain, eh? In the country. All right. So if I whack them both together, you would get over $10 easily. Beautiful,
together, mate.
Hey, yeah, it's good. So when are you moving back to Sydney? When are we talking? Before Chrissy?
Just, the week before. So I'm in Canberra this weekend. Going back to Sydney for Mum's 50th. Good on your mum. Going over to Adelaide for a weekend to see Mitchell.
Jeez.
It should be great. Maybe we'll have to get a few punting videos together. We're going and doing a few wineries, so sure we'll be pretty loose.
For anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, that is part of Punter's Dribble, correct?
Part of Punter's Dribble. Unfortunately, have been... You know, we haven't been able to put much content together because we live fucking 5,000 kilometres away, but maybe we'll have to throw some together over that trip. I reckon it'll be
I think you have
fun,
to.
Especially if we've had a few sherbets too.
You so, may as well do the race call again. It's a great race call.
I'm sure we'll find a way. So, yeah, but back on the 18th, mate, which is really exciting.
Beautiful, mate. All right, well, thank you for that. Hopefully we'll have a bit of luck here. I'm going to have to jump on Wonderbar now. And, mate, I'll just follow you in on decent rain. Don't know much about it. Obviously, it won last time. But, mate, I'm happy to get a little flutter of over 10 to 1. Fingers crossed. Thank you for joining me.
Beautiful. Nah, absolute pleasure. It's been nice having a pick of grass, mate. And we're back and we've put a bit of weight on. We're ready to go.
Thanks, Marat. See you, mate.
See you, mate.